Good morning, everyone. It's great to be with you again this morning. We really trust that we're going to meet with our Lord Jesus today. So I just bring some good news to you today is that on the 24th of April 2005, the Lord planted Church on the Way in Modderfontein, and this year we celebrate 15 years, and we wanted to say thank you to our Lord and to you and all that you've done for him and for us. And we really just thank the Lord that we're going forward in Him and allowing Him to take the church into its new season, new dimension, even in a changing world that we don't truly understand at this time. I'd like to pray and give thanks and then pray for us as we come to God's Word. Father, we want to say thank you for the Word of God, your promise that's given to us, that Lord, that you sent us to plant your church. And Lord, you've established it and it's found its foundations in you. And Lord, it's going forward in you. Thank you, Lord, that you're raising us up as your army, the armada, to go out and Lord, to fight the battles, Lord, to overcome. And Lord, to see the mystery of this gospel preached, not only in this nation, but the nations of the earth. So thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy towards us. We've seen your grace and we give you all the praise. And then, Father, we turn to this morning's message and may the word of God, Lord, just be an enlightenment and an illuminant to our paths and to our eyes today as we hear you speak to us. May there be a revelation of Christ today as we preach the word now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to share with you today a portion of scripture from Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20, and we've titled the message today, Face to Faith, Face to Face with Christ. I want to read the scripture to you and follow in your Bibles. And again, will you turn to Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 to 20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others say Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but my Father in heaven. I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. So today we find this portion of scripture that Jesus had taken his disciples to the area of the region Caesarea Philippi, which is about 40 kilometers north of the Sea of Galilee. It was a place where foreign gods were worshipped, the Pan God, and there was a temple erected to Caesar Augustus. And Jesus raised the questions at this time. And he raised the questions about his identity, and he uses questions in our relationship with him. And I don't know, over the years I've been walking with God, I've realized that when I ask him questions and he asks me questions, I just find the intimacy and the level of understanding of who he is becomes a deep reality in my life. So I really want to encourage you is as you walk with God, allow questions and answers to be a key outworking of your relationship with God. But here we see Jesus, seemingly veiled, comes and asks them, "Who do the people say he is, and who do you say I am?" And I've just seen over the years is that our Lord Jesus, even though he's Almighty God, he walks seemingly with a veil that covers him from people seeing him for who he is. And we see even here, with the disciples and the world, they still didn't recognize who he was, and he asked this pertinent question to both. So the people of the world thought he was a prophet, and they weren't too sure, and they thought he was a resurrected prophet. But to the disciples, it seems that they were also a bit dubious about it. But yet Peter came to the place and said, "I know who you are," and he responded to the Lord. So I want to just encourage us that these questions that Jesus asks are very important that we need to answer ourselves, not just from a worldly perspective, what the people say who Jesus is, but who do you say is Jesus. And the question is, who is Jesus? And here Peter gets to a place and he says, "You are the Son of the Living God." And that is an incredible revelation that's given by God the Father to Peter. And the Lord says to Peter, "I tell you, you are Peter," and the Greek word is Petros, and on this rock Petra, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. So we understand from the Greek is that the Petros is a smaller stone. It's the size of a boulder that might have been used in biblical times to stone people. But the Petra was like a cliff, a jagged rock that's sticking out like a buttress, part of the bedrock. And we understand it's the understanding that not only it's the cliff, but what is it attached to, this bedrock that's unfathomable. It's enormous. Still today, when we see a buttress or we see a cliff, we don't know where the bedrock is established. And it's the same. On this is the bedrock of Jesus Christ. The recognition by of Jesus by the Holy Spirit is the bedrock that we need to build up our faith. So Peter had a personal revelation of Jesus Christ at this time. He didn't only know him at that time as the carpenter, carpenter's son, or historical figure. He was revealed to him as the eternal, uncreated Son of the Living God. And here we see Peter came to that place in his walk, his journey with Jesus, that he had to come and see Jesus for who he is. And we all, very similar, have to parallel walk in a similar vein. There needs to be a time in our lives that we cannot just be walking with someone that we know, but we do not know who he is. And I want to just say that this Lord Jesus, who you love and who you serve, wants to reveal himself to you, not only initially, but continually in your life. So some of the questions I want to face, or topics I want to, points I want to cover today, and there's 4 points I want to cover today. So firstly, I want to be looking at face to face with Jesus, with Christ. Secondly, I will build my church. Thirdly, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And fourthly, face to face with Christ today. So face to face with Christ. So the first point under that, there's a confrontation with Christ. Jesus and Peter, even though these questions were asked to the disciples, he met with the Lord face to face. There was no mediator, no priest, no one in between. They were looking eyeball to eyeball, and they were talking to one another. And here, this person Peter was meeting with person God, and there was this direct impact of a living God with a living man, and the impact was enormous. As we see here, this confrontation had to take place with Peter for him to come to a reality of who Christ is. And I want to just say to you, that reality needs to be with us too. We also need to have a personal confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. It cannot just be a hearsay, a hear about him. It cannot be someone told by a grandparent or someone else telling about him. We've got to come to a place and have a personal confrontation with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's face to face that we've got to meet with him, and we'll talk about that a bit later. So Jesus says, "I am the door, and no one enters in apart from me will be saved." So Jesus is the door. The door is not man. The door is not the church structure. It's not doctrine, but it is Jesus himself. He's the only way that we can get into the kingdom of God. Secondly, it needs to be, this face to face needs to be a revelation of Christ. Matthew 16:16 said, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the Living God." And the Lord said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven." And the Lord said to him, on the declaration of what he confessed there, you are blessed, he is favored. And when we start to confess Jesus for who he really is, there's a blessing. There's a blessing. In 1 Corinthians 12, we cannot call Jesus Lord but by the Holy Spirit. This is a reality. It's a spiritual dimension that only God can enable you to do that. But you are blessed when that transpires in your life. So God granted Peter, the Father God granted me through the Holy Spirit, to come to a revelation of who Jesus. It was not revealed by flesh and blood. It was revealed by the Father, by the Holy Spirit, to come to a reality of who Christ is. You can study theology. You can go to Bible school. You can even become a minister, but you might not have a personal, intimate encounter with the Lord, the living Son of God. And that has to take place in all our lives. And I ask you today, have you personally encountered the living Son of God? You need to. It's very, very important, all of us. And sometimes I even want to say to you today, you might have encountered the Lord many years ago, but we cannot know him on that day. We need to know him on a daily basis. This face-to-face encounter with the living God needs to be a reality in our personal lives. Many of our lives have become dull. Many of our lives have become compromised. Many of our lives have become self-seeking because we seek after our own hearts. Can I even say some of us have even become rebellious because we align the sinful nature to rule again, because we have faded in our distance the image of who the living Son of God is. And I say to you today, this encounter of face to face is seeking Jesus with all your heart. Seek Jesus with all your heart. Fix your eyes upon him and see him for who he really is. May the Father be gracious and merciful to you again and reveal Jesus in all his majesty and all his wonder to you again. And then thirdly, we need to acknowledge Christ. We need to believe upon him and we need to receive him as our Lord and Savior. This is the action of faith in our hearts that needs to take place. There needs to be this transaction and outworking of life in us when we believe, we receive. And then fourthly, there needs to be a public confession of Christ. Peter did that. He said, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah." He made a public confession. How many of us are secret believers in the Lord? We undercover agents. We don't have a public confession. We will be doing things secretly, but yet when it comes to our friends and our family, we're not publicly in our confession. I wanted to say we cannot be secret believers forever. There are places in the world where they cannot confess the Lord because of persecution, but that is not forever. We all need to have a public confession of the Lord. In Matthew 10 verses 32 to 33, who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. You know, Jesus doesn't give us three options. He gives us either confess or deny. And let me tell you, if you're sitting on the fence, you are denying him. So I want to encourage you. We need to be in a place where we stand up and we confess Jesus publicly. I remember in my life, I used to be part of the scouting group, and eventually after scouts, I joined Rovers and was part of these guys, and they were a bit raucous and they were quite worldly. But you know, I'd given my heart to the Lord, and I eventually had to go and stand before them. And I said, "Guys, I'm following Jesus." And you know, that day they respected me, but you know, my relationship with them changed from that day. They in some ways thought I was holier than thou, but I wasn't. I've still kept friendship with a lot of them, but the reality, I had to move on because I was a follower of Jesus. But that came through a public confession, and every one of you are going to face that in life, in your workplace, in your family, wherever you find yourself. You know, you might have mates of past, but sometimes you've got to tell them that who you believe in, and you can't play games with this. You cannot say, I will be with them one day and another not. You cannot be a fence-sitter. You've got to be in or you've got to be out. And you know, if you're out, I want to encourage you to be in. Don't be on the fence, because that's a reality of denying him, and we cannot deny our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be open with our confession of Jesus. We don't have to be on the street corner preaching, but we can be a student, a scholar, a housewife. But wherever you are, I want to ask you to, you need to be telling people that you're a believer in the Son of the living God. And I want to say to you today and encourage you, Jesus is the same as it was 2,000 years ago with Peter. God the Father is still revealing himself to us today. And Jesus hasn't stopped ever revealing himself by the Holy Spirit. He wants to continue to reveal that he is the eternal Son of the living God. I don't know if your eyes have been opened. In Revelation it says, pray that you might have salve for your eyes, that you can see the living God. And I want to pray that your eyes would be opened today, that you would see him and know him as the living God. So my next main point is that I will build my church. And quickly, I want to just say to you, this is not the building, this is you and I. And what is the composition of the church? And I want to just read some points, but just really encourage you to know that it's totally Jesus that will build his church and what he will establish us. Even though there's an outworking of our gifting and there's an outworking following him, I want you to hear these points and may you be encouraged through them. We are washed in Christ's blood and are forgiven. We are clothed in Christ's righteousness. We're renewed by Christ's spirit. We are joined together with Christ by faith. We are the epistles of Christ's life, that is, the letters of Christ. We are baptized with the Holy Spirit. We are really and truly holy. We are one body. We are one heart and one mind with him. And Jesus is the head of his church. Doesn't that enthrall you, that who the church is? Nothing that you have done, he has done it all. And we outlive that, the completed work that was done on the cross that has been continued to be completed in you. And then the next point is the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church, which is us. The power of Satan will never destroy the people of Christ. Satan brought sin and death to the first creation, but he will never bring ruin to the new creation. This mystical body of Christ will never perish nor decay. Even though we might be afflicted or persecuted or even going through this lockdown or brought low, but we will never come to an end. We will always be overcomers. In the early church, the Ephesus church, the physical building died, but the true church never died. And the testimony, as we see how the early church grew and overcame the Roman Empire. And today the church is expanding, and I want to give you the good news. We are not shrinking, we are advancing, and this is a time of advancing. Even though we might be physically in our homes, it's a time to advance the kingdom of God. So I want to encourage you, we will all be brought safe to glory by our Lord because we are his church. And then lastly, face to face with Christ today. And I've just got a serious note about this matter. The Lord has really been speaking to me about this baptism that we have received, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we've neglected to remember that it's not only the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but it's the baptism of the Holy Spirit and with fire. And my heart is that God wants to refine us. And I've been praying for you, and I've been praying for myself and the leaders of the church, because we cannot have just a half portion of God the Holy Spirit. We need to have his fullness. Why? Because this is to reveal Christ. The Holy Spirit wants to reveal Christ to us. And you know, this face to face with Jesus, and so often the image of who our Lord is today is a man that it was seemingly gentle, meek, and mild. But I want to tell you today, Jesus is righteous, and that he is holy, that he's Almighty God, he sits at the right hand of our Father, and that he's in total control. And again, he wants to rise up in our lives. And so often we put him down to be unable to do what he can do. But I want to just say, I've prayed for you that the Lord will take us deeper and further into Christ. And please don't be surprised in the time to come, as I've prayed, that you might feel some changes in your life, and you might be seemingly be misunderstood by your family and must be understood by your colleagues. Why? Because the refining fire of the Holy Spirit is actually working and changing you. So don't think there's something wrong with you or whether you're in sin. No, God is refining you, and he's taking your faith and making it pure, and it's more precious than gold, and bringing you to a place of fullness in Christ. So I'm excited, as the Lord laid that on my heart, is this face-to-face confrontation with Christ. He's taking us deeper and further as his body. Even though we've got a task to get out there with the gospel, he's bringing us to maturity in him, to the full knowledge of him. So I really want to encourage you here today as we summarize the points that we've dealt with today. Face to face with Christ. We all need to be in a confrontation with Christ initially and continually through life. There needs to be a revelation of Christ. We need to acknowledge Christ, and there needs to be a public confession of Christ. And Jesus says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And we need to meet face to face with Christ today. And maybe you out there today, and you've never encountered Jesus. You've been a churchgoer. You're a good person. You are disciplined. Your life is in order, but you have never met with the living God. And I want to just say to you today, the Lord Jesus loves you and wants to meet with you. And maybe you out there too today have taken a step backwards and you're following your own way. Your path has been the most important. And I want to say to you today, it's a time to come back to the living God. He comes and he confronts you and he says, "Will you believe me and will you follow me?" And I want to ask you today, if that is you today, will you pray with me? Will you make right with him? Will you believe and receive? And will you walk in the ways of the living God? May I pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everyone who has come before you and recognized their position, not of condemnation, but of conviction, of allowing you to come and bring them to a place of wholeness again. So, Lord, as they encounter you, Holy Spirit, will you bring them back to a full realization of who you are? May they come to a place of surrender and contriteness, and may they rise up in the power of the Holy Spirit and walk in the fullness in what you've called them to be. And then, Father, I pray for the church. I pray for the church to continue to know Jesus the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. May they not fall back into their old ways. May they continue to keep their eyes fixed upon you. And may their daily experience be a face-to-face encounter with you. So, Lord, bless us as we follow you and keep us now in Jesus' name. God bless you. We love you. May the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to you continually. We love you dearly. God bless you.